All right, guys, let's get started. So moving beyond the school of Rishonim, characterized by the Rosh and Rav Sadia Gaonim, Kiddushan Einan Mitzvah Mitzad Atzmam, we come to the Shita of the Sefer HaChinuch. Okay, so Avi, maybe you'll do the honors today? Is it possible just to drop louder? I'm not sure that all the way over there by Shua and Shimshi, make sure that they can hear you loud and proud. So this expression right here, im yirtza ish likach lo isha, yikne osa tchila. So where does that put us in the framework that we set up? Is it a hechsher mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah chiyuvis? It's no mitzvah at all. What does it sound like to you? It sounds like it's a hechsher? It's only a hechsher? It has no intrinsic significance, Eitan? So this would be a classical formulation of mitzvah kiyumis. What we can't say that you're fundamentally obligated, mechuyav al kol panim, to engage in this. But if a person should wish to head down this path, the Torah has specified one of three methods by which to do so. Shenitztavinu. Again, we have been commanded. Liknos ha'isha ba'achas mishlosh ha'drachim kodem hanisu. So, the Sefer HaChinuch is saying something else, and this will be, I think, sharpened and highlighted by subsequent formulations. Very often we find by mitzvah kiyumis, and I'm indebted to Mori V'Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig for spending a lot of time with us on this idea, mostly in Shitas HaRambam, but it applies very much here, Shitas HaRambam in general, but it applies here in terms of the Shita of the Chinuch, where the method tells us a great deal about the mitzvah. So we're going to see that within the Sefer HaChinuch. The very fact that there are these methods, be'achas mishlosha drachim, kesef, shtar, bia, that's going to give us a deep insight into what isn't a chiyuv, but is still very much a mitzvah min haTorah. Let's take a look. Mishorashi haMitzvah. Perfectly read, Avi. So what's the Sefer HaChinuch saying? Before we start getting into the various drachim, but what is the institution of Kiddushin all about? What did I mean when I said the method gives us an insight into the very nature of the mitzvah?
So it shouldn't be like just
We're allergic to the idea of an intimate encounter being a casual one. And so the way to ensure that the interaction bein ish le'isha is not casual, is not reflective of derech znus, is to have a ma'isa kinyan beforehand. A ma'isa kinyan in halacha, and people get this wrong, Right? They imagine, oh, Ha'isha Niknes, you're degrading her, you're objectifying her. What is she, a field? Lehefech. Since we respect the institution so much, the Sefer Achinuch is telling us that there has to be a Maisa Chashev. And Yaakov, in Halacha, what is a Maisa Chashev? What lends Chashivas to what is going to follow? That it's not just a casual encounter? Oh, one word, Kenyan. So the method of Kenyan is what ensures the Kedusha. Now, which Gemara does that remind us of so profoundly? That you need both of these ideas, Kenyan and Kiddushin. Where did the Gemara speak about them together, Gavi? Beis Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, Lishna del Raisa, Lishna de Rabbanan. The beginning of the first parak is the Lishna del Raisa. The beginning of the second parak is the Lishna de Rabbanan. And the way that I like to say it, the first parak comes before the second parak. Everybody agrees to that. But the Kinyan is what validates and affirms the Kedusha. To have intimacy in a casual, cavalier manner, as we just saw in the Rush, that's why we set it up that way, betrays who we are, Kedushas Yisrael. So there has to be a Maisa Chashev, as Yaakov says, a Kinyan beforehand. Now, of course, ironically, which one of these Kinyanim is going to be the most vulnerable? Exactly, because the whole point is to have a Kenyan before there's any Bia. Now, it's true, if the Bia was being done as a Kenyan, it wouldn't be such a casual act, but nonetheless, it gives us plenty to think about, which is why, you know, in practical terms, what do we say? Rav Mangid Amanda Mekadesh B'Bia. We can't do it, because it's Pritusa. It would undermine the very institution. So here, the method, Dehainu Kenyan, gives us an insight into the institution of Kiddushin. Okay. Im yirtze ish likach lo isha yikna osa tchila, a Kenyan, misho rashi ambisha titavenu atara lasos maisa b'isha yore inyan zivugam taram yishkavima. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch thinks that this is important for two separate reasons, right? Number one, from his point of view, velo yavo ala kevo. Right, so that this shouldn't be the kind of interaction that one would have with a zona, from his point of view. He's playing off the idea of Kenyan, right? The only other person who could actually have a Kenyan is in the case of Avdus. He's using this as more of a melitza. He's not literally saying that she should think of herself in this way, but that she should have great respect for the relationship. Okay? So he should not think of her Chalila as a zona, and she should not think of him, right, in a casual way, but have a great reverence for the relationship, the Chinuch says. Uvechein, when there's this mutual respect for the institution that they're involved in, shivtam v'kimasam, like b'shach b'chal v'kimach, right? So shivtam v'kimasam b'shalom. And when you have people who respect the institution that they're involved in, right? No matter what it is in life. Let's use a much more mundane example. Right, you have business partners who have a great degree of respect for their partnership in a business sense. They wouldn't want to hurt each other. They're always looking out in terms of their fiduciary responsibilities, one to the other, right? They're going to get along. If you have people who are really looking out for themselves, then there's going to be machlokas all the time. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, you know, sort of the best recipe for shalom bayis is respect for the institution, respect for the partnership. Okay, so that's a really interesting idea. It takes us a little bit of field of, you know, our analysis of mitzvahs kiddushin. But again, the yesod of the Sefer HaChinuch is that the method is really what characterizes the mitzvah. The method of kinyan is what ensures that this is kedusha and not lehefech, a kind of a maises nus. And then he brings, I think, one of the most beautiful, you know, illustrations of the idea that minhage Yisrael are much more than just minhagim, meaning not dinim d'oraisa, dinim d'rabbanan, but that a minhag Yisrael properly understood is something that amplifies the din d'oraisa. So Avi, go ahead. This is, I think, such a beautiful piece. All right, since you can use kesef, ishvei kesef, you could use something that's worth 25 cents, and, you know, that would be effective. And, you know, if that's all you have, that's what you're going to do. But the reason that for, you know, 1,000 years, we've been using a tabas, right, isn't just a minha greda, you know, that's sort of like the easiest thing to do. But Avi, what does the Sefer HaChinuch say the idea is? If the whole point of doing the kinyan is to lend reverence for the institution, to lend its significance, so then what's the best way of doing the kinyan? Exactly. A mazkeres tamid, that a people should constantly be reminded to, like, a mezuzah. Right? The idea of being constantly reminded of a certain significance of the institution. Okay, so that is just, I think, a very beautiful way of demonstrating how a minhag captures an idea, which is really very much a d'oraisa idea. Let's just go half a step further in terms of the kinyan chalip, and then I'd like to suggest something for the Sefer HaChinuch. Go ahead, Avi. Bene, meaning by itself. So again, a kinyan chalipin, let's say I'm buying a field from Yaakov, so I'm getting the field. So Yaakov would take my kerchief and lift it up. He could keep it if he wanted to. Tosfos points out that most of the time it's actually returned. But the point is, since chalipin is done with things that are not significant, we don't really relate to it as a kinyan chashuv. And what we need for kiddushin is something that's defined as uniquely a kinyan chashuv. So the Sefer HaChinuch, I think, is a beautiful doctrine. The method of a maisa chashuv, a shtar is always a maisa chashuv, right? Rov kinyane ha'olam are with a shtar. Everybody relates to a shtar as something very significant. The maisa chashuv illustrates exactly what the mitzvah is all about. It's elevating, it adds sanctity, and it's the opposite of znus. And as we noted before, you know, substantively, this is kind of how the Rush understood the institution, even though he wasn't willing to lend it any mitzvah significance. Everybody can appreciate exactly the point of overlap between the Rush and the Chinuch. So what I want to try to point out to you is twofold. So number one, Chanan, is you could have shitos who disagree with each other on a very fundamental issue. Is Kiddushin a mitzvah? Right, the Rush and the Chinuch have a fundamental disagreement on that question, but they are agreeing about something much more profound, which is that the nature of the institution is absolutely related to Kedushas Yisrael. And that's important sometimes to try to identify commonalities, even, you know, with a distinction. Moreover, does anybody want to explain or try to give a svara as to why for the Sefer HaChinuch it's, I think, particularly persuasive to say this is not something the Torah wanted to mandate? it's only a kiyum daraisa, not a chiyum daraisa? Sorry, El? So maybe just sharpen it a little bit. I hear what you're saying, but why is this dafka not something that you would want to mandate?
Because the whole idea is that there, you want there to be a kinyan, like an optional kinyan, that a kinyan is the whole point. So if it was a mitzvah to you, then like a kinyan wouldn't have as much, as more to do as you have as much of like show something as strong. But now that it's just a mitzvah kiyum, when we do the kinyan, it's showing that you're creating
a. You almost just sharpened it a little bit. I totally know what you're saying, and you have exactly the right idea. I just want you to formulate it in a little bit more of a precise way. What you're saying is absolutely true. Yaakov, just help us sort of push it over the top.
The point of Kedushin is so that you don't come onto a woman without being married to them. So avoid arouse, basically. So if you're shy to marry someone, then you still might go to arouse.
Okay, so that's like more of like a preemptive issue. It's also a slightly different concept. Ezra, what just you just had it.
The point of this is like so that the husband and wife are like devoted to each other. So if you're with a few, then you might get two people together who really
precisely. In other words, when there are mandates towards anything, you always pay a price for that because you have all kinds of people doing it because they have to, as opposed to because it's an opportunity. Right, for an elevated and more sanctified existence. Yes, that's exactly what you were driving at. I knew you were right there. Right. So the point is that this is something which it's the Ratzon HaTorah. Of course the Torah wants you to do this, but ironically, to make it obligatory would in some sense undermine the ambition of the mitzvah. The ambition of the mitzvah is to really give us an opportunity to have a more rarefied existence. So if you have people saying, okay, well, I've got to do the mitzvah kiddushin, let me go do my ma'ase chashuv with, you know, the shtar, let me go, you know, find the tabas, you know, isn't this a wonderful thing? We're avoiding, you know, znus because I'm doing my ma'ase chashuv, right? That undermines the very idea. You know, some people might even be more inspired, right? You know, gadol mitzuveh v'osa, mimi she'eno mitzuveh v'osa, but you can understand that mandating something like this, Ezra beautifully formulated, would come at a very high cost. Okay, so that is the shita of the chinuch on the front end in terms of mitzvahs kiddushin. It can't be a chiyuv, in my judgment. I think Ezra and Yis agree, because that would itself undermine the very notion of reverence and sanctity, which the kinyan is meant to enhance and to highlight. That is the shita of the Sefer HaChinuch. Let's just put the shita of the chinuch in terms of gerushin. I want to make sure that we get it in today, and then we'll take all the questions. I'd like to see them back to back. So we know, you know, the chinuch wasn't the one, you know, to think about the connection between, you know, kiddushin and gerushin, even though the chinuch happens to draw the pasuk of ki kach ish isha ubayla from motzi shemra, but the fact is that same expression does, you know, occur. It is found in the context of gerushin. And the Gemara itself is Makish Havayu Yitzia so many different times, so we can't help, you know, in a halachic sense, but to think about the two of them as deeply integrated and related one to the other. So let's have a look at the Chinuch's doctrine of Mitzvah Gerushin, and I think we'll see here kind of the perfect flip side of the Kiddushin coin. Avi, go ahead. Right, so that sounds familiar, right? He's using that same terminology that he used with Kiddushin, right? Kshirotze. You opt into it. The Torah refers to this as the Sefer Krisos. Excellent. Okay, so somebody who feels that it's time to terminate a union that we know the Sefer HaChinuch thinks, you know, is characterized by reverence and respect for the institution, Shinirtza the Garish Nesosenu, so it has to be done via a very particular method. Now, David, if you were just, you know, prognosticating here, if you had never seen the Sefer HaChinuch before, and all you knew his doctrine was Kiddushin, but you didn't know what he would say about Gerushin, what would you argue, what would you hypothesize was going to be his position? Why do you have to use a Sefer Krisos? Just based on what you know about Kiddushin. Why is the method so particular?
That you don't want you to lose the Kiddushin.
Exactly. Okay, so that somehow the method that's being employed is really significant, right? What the Sefer HaChinuch called the Maisa Chashuv, specifically in the context of Kiddushin. So you need a Maisa Chashuv, a Sefer Krisos, specifically in the context of Gerushin. Now, the question is, you know, how does that play into this notion? So the Sefer HaChinuch spells it out. Mishor Rashi HaMitzvah, go ahead, Abi. Right, so Chazal used the language of Kli in the context of an Isha. Nobody should think for a second here that we don't think an Isha is a full Tzelem Elokim and axiologically fully equivalent to a man. But the point is, this Gemara, which is actually a very beautiful Gemara, is that women ontologically develop a very deep attachment to their husbands. Ena Isha Kareses Bri, Selelem Isha Asa Kli. But the Sefer HaChinuch is utilizing in a particular context, right, that in the end of the day, a kli is something that a person can choose to utilize or not. V'achar shekein. Right. So hayamir tzono baruch hu shekol zman sheyakotz nafsho b'kli azah, when he's not interested anymore, I'm putting it delicately, sheyotzienu mibeisa. So again, Rav Rosenzweig really emphasize this idea, but it's really Gerushin that maintains the sanctity of Kiddushin, if you think about it, right? Because the whole point is that if the marriage no longer has this dynamic to it, we wish that it did, and people have made a serious effort, what's better? To continue a Kiddushin that really doesn't reflect reverence and mutual appreciation, or to sever that, right? So in some sense, it's the optionality of Gerushin that ensures that when we do have Kiddushin, it's for the right reasons. It's a very ambitious, idealistic institution in that way. We don't want people engaged in it. I'm not talking about, you know, people are going to be on cloud nine every second. That's not at all what we mean. But that there's a certain baseline of respect that should characterize the institution. Okay, uminatama zeh. Right, so this is, you know, shocking shita in the Tanaim, right? There are three different views. Beis Shammai's view is the only time you're allowed to get divorced is if there's been Giloy Arayos. You know, Beis Hillel says that you have, you know, Imlo Simtza Chayin Beinav. Rabbi Kiva says Afilu Hikdicha Tavshilo. So what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying that, you know, if she, you know, has lost his respect, now hopefully if he's a certain kind of person, the fact that he didn't love dinner one night is not going to, you know, tip the scales. But the point is that, you know, it's that there's something very rarefied and sacred about the institution. So anything that would take away from that could, in principle, be grounds, you know, for Gerushin. Now, again, if it's a marriage that's hanging on, you know, just by the taste of dinner, you know, obviously there are deeper problems. If a person is willing to throw that away because they didn't, you know, like the eggplant parmesan, you know, that's obviously a siman that dinner is not really the problem. And I don't think you have to be a marriage counselor to figure that out. Okay, Avi, go ahead. Right, so you shouldn't think for a second that we're objectifying her when we call her a kli. We understand that this is Tzelem Elokim, but in the context of marriage, right, he does have these rights. Right, Right? In practice, it would be insane and utterly deplorable for a person to terminate this institution unless it was for a very fundamental reason, a fundamental incompatibility, which does happen in life. But again, the Sefer HaChinuch is trying to explain that he's not advocating Hikdicha Tavshilo. Okay. So I take that line as very consequential. Ein hechrich alav lios ita al kol panim. Ezra is exactly what you pointed out in the context of Kiddushin. If there was no outlet, if there was no possibility of gerushin, what would that be like? As you pointed out, it would be like us mandating Kiddushin in the first place. Right? The very idea that it has to be an institution that we revere and that we respect means that if for whatever reason that's broken down, there has to be a way of unwinding that. And Ezra, this was your insight in terms of Kiddushin. If we mandated Kiddushin, we couldn't reasonably expect that everybody would approach it in that spirit, that the Kenyan would be such a Maisa Chashev. Okay? And then he puts in parentheses here, and hopefully some of you who guys have, you know, have ecumenical knowledge will be able to tell me what he's referring to. Kasher kiyasu k'tas min ha'umos. As they say in the movies, unto death do we part. What's he referring to here, of course? Catholicism, right? You know, this is why the Anglican Church started, because, you know, Henry wanted to, you know, move on. So the point is, right, Sheyichretu brisi ma'isha, bris chazaka ad she'ol tachtis, right, there's no possibility of unwinding it. So what does that end up leading to, counterintuitively? That doesn't lend more reverence for the institution, right? It actually traps people in an institution that could have lost all of its, you know, sanctity. Hazima v'tachriv kol asher babayis. He says, look, you know, once you have this, you know, you're locked into it. So he puts it in very graphic terms, but he says, you know, she could tear down the house and burn it, you know, from floor to ceiling and destroy everything in it, and she doesn't have to worry about the consequences. Now, of course, what he's getting at is the point that you could have a completely dysfunctional situation, and yet they're locked into a marriage, which is inconceivable from the Sefer HaChinuch's point of view, because his whole idea is that the Kenyan that we generate to begin with is what elevates and creates Kedusha. It would be completely unimaginable to have a situation where you're then locked into something where Kedusha doesn't exist and where people, you know, wouldn't have each other's best interests at mind. So, again, as my Rebbe said, it's really the optionality of Gerushin that reflects the Kedusha and the ambition and the idealism of Kedushin. Okay, V'amnam. You can't just say, you know, things didn't work out, so we'll, you know, that's it. Pen yezalanu le'evan negef ulitzor michshol. That would be a terrible stumbling block for us. Amenu. Exactly, that somebody who wanted to commit an act of licentiousness could say, oh, well, my husband divorced me this morning. I don't have a get to show for it, but he said, you know, it's all over. Okay? Matsoi harbe. You know, everybody loses their temper sometimes. So you can imagine, you know, people would be, you know, dissolving marriages over breakfast, you know, twice or three times a week, depending on, you know, what the scenario was. So everybody here sort of discern the parallelism. Hanan, did you just want to state it for us? He said, when it comes to Kiddushin, the method is meant to prevent what otherwise would be. Exactly. So here too, when it comes to Gerushin, just the flip side of the coin, the particular method, having a safer krisos, a very fancy shtar that has to be produced. Go ahead, Hanan.
If it was just because there's a shtar, if it was just through speech, then it would also be, then it wouldn't have a level of kedusha.
Exactly, and it would further the degree of znus in society. So just like the method, the maisa chashav of kedushin, is what ensures the sanctity of the institution, the same thing is true with gerushin, right? That the very method that you use, the Sefer Krisos, is precisely what ensures that society doesn't degrade into a society of znus, right? And by the way, you know, Parshas Noach last week, Vayarlo kimis ha'aretz v'inei nishchasa, this has happened, and it could very much happen. Achein ata, right, we call it not just, you know, a shtar, but we call it a sefer krisus. It's actually like a, you know, an entire book. So just like, it's really fascinating, this is now another indication of the parallelism in the Sefer HaChinuch. Everybody remember that the Sefer HaChinuch said that the method through which we do Kiddushin leads to Shalom Bayis, because everybody's going to respect the institution. So he says, here too, since Gerushin requires this great effort on our part, right, a Sefer Krisos, we need to get Edei Chasima, we need Edei Mesira, you need all of this involvement, what that's going to promote in the end is more Shalom Bayis, because people are going to think more than once, you know, about exercising this option. Okay, so v'noheges mitzvahs gittin b'chol makom b'chol zman. So obviously the Sefer HaChinuch finishes with how significant an institution this really is. So there's so many different layers of parallelism within the Sefer HaChinuch between Kiddushin and Gerushin, right? Number one, the idea of a mitzvah kiyumis. It would be absurd, we would have all known this before the Zman, to say that al kol panim a man is mechuyev to be megarish his wife, right? That would be insane. But the Sefer HaChinuch is pointing out is you couldn't have that by Kiddushin either, because we're looking for a ma'isa chashuv, dehainu, as Yaakov points out, a kinyan to ensure that this doesn't have any hint or scintilla of znus about it, but it rather reflects the ambition of kedusha that we want to really define the bond bein ish le'ishto. The method of kedushin, a ma'isa chashuv, using a shtar, or as he says, the minhag yisrael of using a tabas, is such a profound way, a mazkeres tamid, as he calls it, of what the institution should really mean to both of them. If you would coerce people to enter into Kiddushin, a lot of this, as Ezra correctly pointed out, would be lost. And likewise, when it comes to Gerushin, if there would be no option, as he says, and by the way, we know of other faith traditions where there is no option, you could have a mockery of Kiddushin. You could have people who are coerced and compelled to stay together even though they literally cannot stand each other. And there's nothing sacred about that. And it undermines anything that the institution might have otherwise aspired towards. And then one final level of parallelism is just as doing a ma'isa chashuv on the front end prevents nus, doing a ma'isa chashuv on the back end also does. Because if it was just bedibor, that could lead to all kinds of shenanigans. And also if it was just bedibor, right, then you'd have, you know, way too much of it going on, human nature being what it is. Sometimes we all act impulsively. Sometimes any of us could act rashly against our better interests because we're really not functioning or thinking as clearly as we would. So for the Sefer HaChinuch, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, but the kiyum itself is reflective of the Torah's desire. And the method that we use, the drachim that we use, really demonstrate that. What the Torah wants us to do is to create a ma'isa chashuv to counteract any tendency towards znus.